I've always loved in that hymn the line that says, "When I've done the best I can and my friends misunderstand." That describes more moments in life than I know. Today, I want to invite us to consider the uncertain parts of our journeys. These last 8 weeks since Epiphany, we've been looking at journeys that shape us. And today, I want to look at those moments in our journeys that bring challenge or difficult time, the storms, if you will. The things we think will go one way, and then unexpectedly go another. And to start us out right on this day of speaking about unexpected things, I'm going to change the scripture that I was going to use for the sermon. I know a couple of you already pulled up Matthew 8, either in, you know, a real bound book or maybe on your phone. Those of you who don't typically look up the scripture, this is a good time to encourage you to do so more often. I mean, what if I'm just making up the numbers? Some week I should put a chapter in there in a verse that don't exist, just to see if anybody's paying attention. This week we'll be using Matthew 17:21. Oh, it's not there. Or Mark 17:1-5. Seriously, I do encourage you to open the Bible for more than that. I encourage you to read our scriptures on your own each week, even after a sermon, just to go back and revisit and look at it. See what questions come up. What insights do you find? I would love to hear how the scripture is speaking to you. Not just let us hear how it's speaking to me in any given moment. Anyway, I am changing the scripture today from one real verse to another real verse. And though I'm changing the chosen scripture, I am not changing the chosen story. I'm just changing who is telling it. I was going to use Matthew 8, but instead I've chosen for today Mark 4. You see, when you have four different books in the Bible all telling stories about the same guy, stories sometimes show up in more than one of them. Often, in fact. A majority of our stories show up with a few variations here or there, and sometimes two, three, a few of them even in all four of the Gospels. Now, chronologically, Mark, the one I've chosen for today, Mark was actually written first out of all four of the Gospels. You didn't know this. They didn't actually put them in the Bible in like chronological order. They sort of drew straws as to who was what's favorite, and they made it in that order. But Mark was written first. And Matthew and Luke, interestingly enough, actually borrowed some stories out of Mark. You see, Matthew and Luke were written about the same time as each other. They borrowed some stories from Mark. They were like, oh, that's good stuff. We should use that. There was also some other material that they both had. Biblical scholars look at this and they realize that there are some stories that they each include, even though Matthew and Luke never knew each other or borrowed from one another. They've got stuff that's the same that's not in Mark. So they had to have a couple books laying out in front of them, well, scrolls as it may be, as they were working on their own rendition of the Jesus story. Oh, I love this one from Mark. And oh, there's this other source. We call that mystery source Q. It's actually German for the word Quell, which means source. Now, I looked into it. Why don't we call it like two letters for mystery source? But the German word for mystery starts with a G. And the idea of Matthew and Luke sitting around reading GQ just felt odd. But whether you already noticed that the Gospels overlap in their storytelling, or if this is a new thing for you to understand, I enjoy that our stories show up in more than one place around our scriptures. For me, it's really something to think of these stories that we read today being passed around and retold and shared, making their way into what would become our Bible. These stories captivated people. They were meaningful and they were memorable. I mean, just think about Matthew sitting there reading Mark thinking, I love that story. I totally need to include that in my version. These stories had an impact and were so captivating. Jesus had such an impact and was so captivating. Because they're real, and they're relatable, and they don't skirt around the hard stuff. And that's where we pick up in our scripture today, with the very real and relatable disciples on a very real and relatable journey with Jesus. Hear this from Mark chapter 4. That day when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side of the lake." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with them. And a furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" And he got up, and he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Quiet, peace, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified, and they asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Of all the journeys that shape us, some of the most memorable, some of the most powerful, are the stormy journeys. Your storms could be the loss of a loved one, the loss of a job. Your storms could be the fading of a dream, the challenge of what you thought you wanted and then actually getting it. Your storms could be a diagnosis, a prognosis, a condition that changes everything. Your storms could be the result of other people using their free will poorly. Your storms could be because of systems and structures and organizations that are stacked in someone else's favor. Or depending on the day, it could be any number of these in combination. There are countless storms in our lives. And suddenly a squall appears. If our lives are symbolized by a journey, there are plenty of times it seems the waves are coming over the sides of the boat and we don't know if we're going to make it. And that is what we find our relatable and real friends, the disciples, dealing with at this moment. And by dealing with, I actually mean panicking, freaking out, and not actually doing anything in any kind of helpful or productive way. I mean, half of these guys used to spend every day in a boat. So this has to be some kind of storm. And not only is there water filling in, the only thing filling the boat faster than the seawater is anxiety. Everyone is on full alert, just not sure what to do. Everybody is just panicked. Well, everybody but one guy. In between watching for the next wave and looking at the panic on the people on either side of you, the disciples turn and they notice Jesus. I love the scriptural description. Jesus was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. A cushion. It seems an incredibly minute detail to include in our scriptures. I can only assume it is included to further juxtapose Jesus' complete level of comfort compared to the disciples' extreme discomfort. So confronted with a storm in life, the disciples do what people of faith have done for generations. You know that thing you don't always do on the good days, but you do on the bad days. They turned to the Lord. And instead of being a metaphor, they literally turned to him right in the stern. Can you imagine being Jesus, waking up from your nap to have an entire boat full of people in water staring at you? What's up, guys? Now, this is a point we should not overlook. The disciples start asking him, "Why don't you care?" He didn't even know there was a storm. He was asleep. But they are so quick. The disciples are so quick to assume he just must not care. I believe this is one of the things Jesus was addressing when he asked the disciples, "Do you still have no faith?" The question, "Do you still have no faith?" can sound harsh and judgmental. Right? Jesus looks at these people, "Do you not have faith?" Whoa, gear down. I don't hear Jesus asking it that way. I don't think Jesus is being harsh. I actually think Jesus is hurt. I don't think Jesus is upset that the storm scared them. I think Jesus is upset because they thought he didn't care about them. Where was their faith in his relationship with them? "Come on, guys, you know me. You know I care." Perhaps they'd misplaced their expectations. Plenty of people who follow Jesus then and now mistakenly believe that everything should go smoothly because they're with Jesus. A false sense of security, and I would say even a little bit of an inflated sense of ego. "I'm sorry, storms, maybe you didn't know. I'm with Jesus." Folks, our relationship with Christ does not give our journeys a storm-free guarantee. What it will give us is good company. This is a very applicable time to remind you. Peace does not mean there will be no storms. Peace is what gets us through the storms. Our relationship with God does not keep us from stormy times, But amidst the stormy times, God keeps our relationship. This is not something that we suddenly believe and embody. Oh, I heard that God's going to be with me, so I should just handle the storms without any problem. This is not something we suddenly believe and embody immediately. This kind of trust and faith in God's presence takes time to grow and to guide us. It's why we gather together, to continue to grow in our trust in the relationship. In fact, this "it takes a while" nature of centering our lives in the steadfastness of God and the peace of Christ, this "it takes a while" nature is easily proven in our scriptures. In fact, if you have one of those paper Bibles out, you turn the page and the disciples are on a boat in a storm again. Like one page later, if you turn from chapter 4 of Mark to chapter 6 of Mark, hear the story. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him while he dismissed the crowd. After leaving the crowd and the disciples, Jesus went up on the mountain to pray. Later that night, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and Jesus was alone on land. And Jesus saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. He was about to pass them by when they saw him walking on the lake, and they thought it was a ghost, and they cried out because they all saw him and were terrified. And immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take courage. It's me. Don't be afraid." Then he climbed into the boat with them, and the wind died down. Another day, another storm. You've had that week before, right? You've had that another day, another storm week. I'm telling you, these disciples are relatable. Now, I'll tell you, this story often gets sidetracked by Jesus walking on the water. Yes, I am calling walking on water a distraction. This scripture is not about a miraculous aquatic stroll. This story is a story about faith. Do you remember in the last storm when Jesus asked the disciples why they still had no faith? Of course you do. That was like 3 minutes ago. Well, apparently, the disciples did not remember the last storm. In our last scripture, the focus is on their faith in the relationship, that they might believe that God and Jesus care about them. In this storm, the focus on faith is about having faith in themselves, even more so having faith that Christ has faith in them. The most miraculous words you can hear in the 6th chapter of Mark are not, "He was walking on the water." The most miraculous words in the 6th chapter of Mark are, "He was about to pass them by." Jesus is out for a jaunt on the lake, and he looks over and he sees his friends straining against the oars as their boat is buffeted by wind and wave. Now, does Jesus think to himself, "I am the Prince of Peace. The sky and the water obey my very word. I should rush to them, for only I can save them"? No. Jesus doesn't have a Messiah complex. Jesus has faith in his friends. He knows they're capable. He knows they are capable of handling the task at hand. He believes in them, and he believes in their ability to carry on. So he was ready to pass them by. I'm certain he would be waiting on the shore for them to arrive safely and be regaled by their stories of Jesus, the wind and the waves. He was ready to listen and be there, but he knew they could make it. Can't you just hear the disciples? "Jesus, there was this storm, and we were straining at the oars, but we kept going and we didn't give up, and we made it together." And I just hear Jesus looking at his disciples saying, "I knew you could. I believed in you." When the storms of life are raging, we're invited to have faith. When the storms of life are raging, we're invited to continue growing in our faith. Faith like God has in us, that we are capable. And faith in a God who will be with us, in relationship with us, caring for us the entire way through. Amen.